The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, and Tim Gernhardt. Tim, how did the Chiefs stop Derrick Henry?
Hey, good morning.
Oh, I'm such
good
a jerk.
Good morning. Hey, did the Chiefs play your lead-in?
What?
Right before half or at halftime? Wake up time! They needed to wake up, and they did in the second half. It's a better second half. First half, they were the walking zombies of the Kansas City Chiefs, and in the second half, they played pretty well. So that's enough about that, huh? That all you want to talk about with the last game? You know, not the prettiest game of all time, but a key game, I think, for the Chiefs, because if they lose that game, all hell would have broke loose out at One Arrowhead Stadium. So that was a good victory for the Chiefs. They needed that victory. Their leaders, I guess, stepped up at halftime, including Tyrann Mathieu, who had a conniption on the sideline, which is
And then he had one
good.
On Twitter.
And then he had one on Twitter. And then Patrick Mahomes whispered sweet nothings in Andy Reid's ear.
What?
Basically saying, I got it. I'll take care of it. It's my fault. I'm held responsible. Let's go do it. And Andy said, yeah, you're right. You did screw it up. And let's get this thing fixed. And they seem to do that. So congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't know about you guys, but the first half was very painful to watch. And the second half was a little bit more enjoyable.
No, that was rock bottom, I thought, because not only they played poorly, but who it was happening against. You know,
rock bottom is exactly right. I think the Chiefs hit rock bottom, and I mentioned something about hitting rock bottom in 1990 when I was with the Kansas City Chiefs. We played Seattle, and Dave Craig threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game to score and to beat us. And you know, we just came off of a bye week, and we beat the Raiders, and we thought, like, okay, we got this thing figured out. And then all of a sudden that happened, and we hit rock bottom, and the leaders on that team stood up and said, hey, listen, guys, this is it. This is, you know, go time. Whether, you know, this whole season is going to hinge on the next, you know, couple games. We went out and won 6 out of the next 7, and it was a good thing. So let's hope that the Chiefs kind of, they bounced off that rock bottom, and hopefully they're bouncing back up, and they're going to need to, because they play a bunch of pretty good, well, the Giants aren't that good, but the Titans are a good football team, so they're going to have to play well this week.
Let's talk about last night just for a moment before we move on to the Chiefs and the Titans. Did you watch any of the Broncos against the Browns?
Yeah, I did watch a little bit of it. You know, I was really interested in see how the Browns offense would go about their business with having both running backs out and their starting quarterback out. And I thought Case Keenum played well, and the kid Johnson ran the ball pretty well. I like the Cleveland Browns offensive line. I think Cleveland Browns has a really good offensive line. I think they showed that last night. Denver just kind of, I don't know, they just don't seem to. Yeah, I mean, and now with Von Miller being hurt with his ankle issue, it just, that team looks like it is, the arrow is pointing down on the Denver Broncos.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
What do you think about their decision to pass on Justin Fields and Mac Jones and go with a corner to add to that defense? That's the way they're going to go about taking care of business in the AFC West. They were good at quarterback. They didn't need to draft either one of those guys.
Well, their head coach is a huge defensive-orientated guy, and you can ask Drew Locke and Drew Locke's family about that and the people around him. I mean, that was not his pick. He did not really want Drew to come in. And, you know, there was no chance that he was going to go with another quarterback. You know, when you hire a defensive-orientated head coach like Denver Broncos did, they're going to go defense. And that's what he did. And he said, we'll go find a journeyman quarterback. And that's what they did. And Drew Locke is standing on the sideline and watching Teddy Bridgewater throw the interceptions. And
Teddy, you know, Bridgewater refuses to throw the ball downfield.
Refuses to do it. He's a game manager. And right now, he's not managing it that well. So
I mean, that's the thing. That, yeah. I try to say that before the season started, we're not talking about an Alex Smith out there that's got this incredible touchdown to interception ratio in Teddy Bridgewater.
Right. You can't win this division with that quarterback. No, you've eliminated yourself.
Well, I mean, but my point is, even like if their defense was great and all that, we're talking about a guy. I mean, like, his touchdown interception ratio is decent this year, 12-5. But, like, you look at...
But it's sinking. It's sinking fast.
It is. I mean, I think he threw one touchdown and one interception last night.
And there was three interceptions the last game, I believe he had.
He threw 11 picks last year and 15 touchdowns.
Right.
That's not some terrific game manager. You know, no. If he threw 15 touchdowns and two picks, I guess I could see it. Like, well, hey, this guy never makes a mistake. He's never going to do anything to take you out of a game. That's not...
Well, he makes mistakes, and...
And he won't throw the ball down the field.
And he won't throw the ball down the field. If you're going to make mistakes, make mistakes being aggressive.
Right.
Make mistakes trying to make plays. Make mistakes trying to put six on the board.
And with a guy that's got some upside, like maybe Drew Lock never pans out.
He'll throw the ball downfield.
Maybe he never pans out, but maybe he learns and develops. Like, there's an upside there. There's a chance that he could become really good. Like, what's Teddy Bridgewater?
There's no upside with Bridgewater. Vic Fangio, as soon as he took that job over and decided Joe Flacco's going to be my quarterback because he lines up under center, that's the way we like to do it. Yeah. That was red flags everywhere. Are you kidding me? That's how you're going to pick your quarterback? And I've said it from day one. They will not be a factor with him as head coach.
No, absolutely.
And there's
not.
plenty of coaches. You know it.
And
there are successful coordinators that can't be head coach.
And you know what? And the crazy thing about it is, it's not just because he's a defensive oriented head coach. He's just a stubborn coach,
right?
You know that. I mean, it just comes down. I mean, when they drafted Drew Lock and he became head coach, I mean, it was oil and water right from the beginning. He did not want Drew Lock to play. He did not want to draft Drew Lock. You know, John Elway's the one who fell in love with Drew Lock and drafted Drew Lock. And it reminds me a little bit of Moneyball. It's like, hey, you know, put in Hattieburg. Put in Hattieburg. Put in Hattieburg. Put in Hattieburg. And, you know, and Fazio keeps saying, you know, I'm not. I'm going to put in my guy. I'm going to put in my guy, and look what happened.
And I understand what you're saying about he's not going to draft another quarterback, right? But just imagine, for example, If Arizona's sitting there with a chance to draft Kyler Murray, but they say, "Oh no, we just drafted Josh Rosen. We're not gonna do this again." Where would they be?
Yeah,
you can't let one mistake cause another mistake. Trust me, I'm tickled that they went cornerback and who knows what Justin Fields or Mac Jones are ever gonna be. But I'd feel a lot better about their situation if I was a Denver fan if I had Justin Fields or Mac Jones to build around and to hopefully lead me to something better in the future. And the reason I bring this up is it should really make you feel happy, because for all those years when they had John Elway and then Peyton Manning, they deserve this. They deserve to have a coach run this team into the ground because he's stubborn and because he says, no, it's still the 80s and 90s, and we can win with this really good defense and this below-average quarterback who is going to build stuff around him.
And the crazy thing is, it's not like they have the offensive line or the running game.
Right.
I mean, I could
look at how many assets they throw to running and running backs.
No, it's terrible. I mean, and I can make excuses for him in that aspect. Listen, you're going to have a strong defense, and you're going to be able to run the ball, and you know, you'll be able to time management, you know, control the clock, blah, 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 which is not going to work in this day and age of the NFL anyways. But, you know, a lot of times these old school coaches and defensive coordinator coaches, head coaches, are guys who like to do that. They want to have a strong defense, and they want to control the ball on the offensive side and make the game a little bit shorter and go from there. And it just, they don't have that. So they don't have either one. And, you know, the first three games, didn't they start 3-0?
Yeah,
it's like
because
the Giants
of who they
and
played.
The Jets. And
and anyone with a brain saw that and said, this ain't going to last, and they're going to get whipped. And now they lost four in a row. And on top of that, you can't expect to compete in the division when the other quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and even Derek Carr.
Right.
Derek
Absolutely.
Carr is light years better than Teddy Bridgewater. So they're buried, and with that head coach and quarterback combination, done. And I hope they keep him. Sign him to an extension.
There's no chance that happens.
Forever.
He's gone.
He gone.
No, I mean,
I'm glad that they kept him long enough to pass on Justin Fields and Mac Jones. I'm glad that happened, at least.
Right. Don't you think, though, the long play is that they're going to go after Rodgers in the offseason? They're going to fire Fangio. They're going to hire someone Aaron Rodgers wants, and they're going to bring Aaron Rodgers in?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a good plan for Denver.
That was the plan this past offseason.
It was,
that work?
It didn't, but I mean,
maybe, but what if another team goes after him?
It clearly is not.
And on top of that, what is Aaron Rodgers by the time he gets there? He's fine, but I mean, this, you know, at some point there is an expiration date on this.
I mean, that's the only thing that, yeah, there is, but I don't see any way that Fangio makes it through this season.
They still could have drafted him.
Right?
Nothing prevented them from doing that, but, except stubbornness.
Right, but don't you think their own ignorance played into them not drafting a quarterback because they were cocky and they thought they were going to get Rodgers this offseason?
Or they thought the defense was so good and the running game was so good and they put all these weapons. You know, no, hey, did you see what Teddy Bridgewater did when he started 5 games for the Saints? Oh, I could absolutely see.
Plays?
Like he said, the coach being so stubborn,
yeah.
You could see the way he could talk himself into that.
Absolutely.
Well, what was Chidea saying about the Broncos?
Yeah. No,
he has the Broncos as a playoff team.
Hey, I'm loving it. Don't get me wrong. I'm loving what's going on, and I hope it continues. But
they were wrong.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
And Fangio is a terrible head coach, and I don't see any way that he makes it through this year.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I maybe he makes it through the year, but after this year, he is gone. And you know what? They're going to have a come to Jesus a little bit in that organization. You know, John Elway, who is, you know, the head of that organization, and he is an offensive minded guy.
He's the teeth of the front office.
Yeah,
really.
And I don't get it. And it's almost as if he's kowtowing to this staff. And I don't get what they're trying to get done there. But like you guys said, that's good for us.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes.
Didn't he turn over GM duties though last year?
He might have. I don't know.
I think he hired new GM, and there's.
Yeah, it might have. I don't know. I'm not following.
I don't know. Maybe they decided they need to pull the reins in on him, huh?
The inner workings. He's pulling the reins in.
Yeah, January of this year, Elway concedes control of Broncos roster, hire George Patton.
Patton?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
He's going to get them in tip-top shape.
You know,
what you could say is, you know, they
being that injury in the training room with, you know, George Patton walking around slapping you around if you're not coming
back. Is it Peyton?
To the field.
Maybe it's Peyton.
Who knows?
Patton.
But you know, by putting all this on Elway and then going with Vic Fangio, clearly they bet on the wrong horse, I think.
Well, they're really trying to
quit horsing around.
Yeah, they're really trying to buck the trend of quarterbacks going in the first round.
Well, when you dangle that carrot of a young quarterback, so how do you stop Derrick
They've
Henry?
They've really been saddled by these bad decisions.
Why won't you talk about that on the radio, how to stop Derrick Henry? Why won't you just address
you
it?
Hiding?
I don't get it
don't
from
know.
You sometimes.
I don't know. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, and it's showed up today somewhere. But
what?
Listen, I think there's three things you got to do. Number one is you got to be gap sound, especially on the defensive line. You have a responsibility as a defensive line, you know, whether you're playing an odd 34 look or you're going to slide down somebody into a 4-42 look, you have a gap, and you've got to be gap responsible. If you're not gap responsible, you're trying to do too much. If you're a little bit late on your assignment, that's trouble, because if this guy gets ahead of steam, he gets his shoulders going forward. Now, he lines up at 10 yards, and he is rolling by the time he gets to about 3 or 4 yards, and he hits the hole at full speed. That's the great thing. And I have a man crush on Derrick Henry. I love the way he runs. Hmm. To me, he is a he's Christian Okoye 2.0. He's the new and improved Christian Okoye. Now, Christian would line up deep, but Christian didn't have the ability to make those cuts that Derrick Henry does at the line of scrimmage while keeping his shoulders, you know, downfield, which is so important.
And then run like a wide receiver.
And then run like a wide receiver. Christian would run you over.
Right.
And he would say to you, you must move or I run you over.
And then he'd eat a hungry man pot pie
and then
right afterwards.
Yes, he would. But Derrick Henry has that cut ability, and he's able to keep his shoulders upfield. The key to this is, number one, is you've got to be gap responsible. Number two, you got to get him to turn his shoulders to the sideline and get him behind the line of scrimmage, making his cuts behind the line of scrimmage. You got to find a way to penetrate. You got to find a way to cause issues in the backfield so that he doesn't get that head of steam. And number three, you've got to tackle. And when I say tackle, and I love the way Spags talked about it in the press conference, you got to have a population around him. You have to swarm the football. And the second guy in is always taught what? What's the second guy in always taught? Go for the football. Go for the football. You can't do that against this guy. The second guy in, you got to grab a leg and you got to tackle. The first guy holds him up. The second guy goes in there and he's got to, you know, get into that tackle form and wrap him up and bring him down. And there's a third guy or a fourth guy, maybe you can go after the football. The big mistake that teams make is they think that one guy could bring this guy down, and the second guy goes in, and he's grabbing at the ball, and he's dragging both of these guys down the field for 5 or 6 extra yards. This guy is number one in yards after contact, and the Chiefs are the last in the NFL at contact before, you know, during the run. So, you know, there's not a very good combination here. So the Chiefs, when a running back is the, before they make contact with a running back, they're giving up more yards than any other team in the NFL. And now you have a running back that once he is contacted, he gets more yards than anybody else. He's got 15. I had this somewhere. Let's see if I can find it again. He is leading the league in touches. He is by far with the most carries. He is, as running backs go, has the highest percentage of being a part of an offense than any other running back in the league, and that's with runs and a couple catches, but mostly runs. This guy is, I think he leads the league with 162 touches. Think about that, 162 touches, and there's no sign of this guy slowing down. So the Chiefs have got to do a really good job. And that's why I like Nick Bolton. And that's why I like Willie Gay, because I think they're athletic enough to get there. Now, can they tackle him one-on-one? That remains to be seen. I think in a perfect situation, they can. But the good thing about having guys like Bolton and guys like Gay and guys like Juan Thornhill, to be brutally honest with you, you have athletic guys that can get to the ball quickly, and it's going to take 2 or 3 guys to get this guy down. And the quicker you get there, the quicker you get piling on this guy, the better chance you have to get him, bringing him down. And Andy talked about it too. He's going to get his yards. You know, he's going to have 120, 130, 140 yards rushing. That's just a given. But you have to be able to limit everything else. Tannehill, you cannot bite on play action because that's where they're going to get the goods. Well, all of a sudden, everybody in the safeties and the corners and the linebackers are all looking in the backfield at Derrick Henry, and all of a sudden you pull it and a guy gets behind you and you throw one over the top for a touchdown. That's what you can't have happen. So this is a great challenge for this defense. It's not a great matchup for this defense, but the Chiefs have beat this team before with Derrick Henry running the football. So they have an idea. They have a formula how to do it. They just got to go and execute.
130.5 yards. That's what Derrick Henry has averaged this year.
And he's not slowing down.
Will it be over or under Tim Grunhard on Sunday? 130.5.
That's a really good question. I'm going to go. I think he's going to rush for maybe 150, 155 yards. But that doesn't equal a loss. It really doesn't. I mean, if he's going to get his yards. In fact, when he does run the ball, and if you can limit everybody else, and, okay, he gets, you know, 2 touchdowns and runs for 150 yards, this Chiefs offense, you could score a bunch of points. But you got to limit everybody else. You got to limit the wide receivers. You got to limit the tight end. You got to limit everybody else. You got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback when they do throw and have him turn the ball over. He's going to get his. It's a Michael Jordan effect. Michael Jordan's going to get his 40 to 45, 50 points, but you got to stop everybody else. And that's the same thing with this team. You're not going to stop Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's going to have over 100 yards rushing on a bad day. And now you just got to limit everybody else.
We have Tim Grunhard in studio. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, talking about you, Tim.
Man named Tim Megrin.
All right. Nate Buchini, where are you going to be at? Who are you going to be with?
Yeah, oh, what's man. Going on tonight?
I'm going to the KC WOSO game. That stands for Kansas City Women's Soccer, Grunny. They are the professional soccer team in town.
And you got to go tonight because I think they only have two games left.
That's right. That's right. They play Gotham FC tonight. Look at Grunny. He knows what's going on.
I know exactly
They have two games left on the home schedule, so you want to come out tonight. I'm going to be there. We're going to have the 810 Cruiser there.
The 810 Cruiser.
We're going to have a tailgate party start at 5 o'clock. Beer special from 5:30 to 6:30.
Did you tell everybody that Patrick Mahomes is going to be there with you?
I didn't say that.
Curtis Ebolt's known as the 810 Cruiser in some circles.
So. Well, he is. That's a different kind of cruiser, though. I can't promise that Curtis is going to be there tonight, although I would love it if he showed up.
Oh, sure.
And I can't promise that Patrick Mahomes is going to be there, but he is often there because his wife is one of the owners of the team.
It's the 810 Cruiser.
Hey, Cruiser.
I got a ticket for you to the game tonight, pal, if you want to come to the game. He just gave me the double thumbs up.
He gave me the double fingers.
Oh, that's what that was?
I don't know about that.
Hey, they call me Cruiser.
I'm going to bring my little mini soccer goals.
Strike.
So we're going to be.
Oh, I love you.
But we got. I don't think if I'm allowed to say the price, but really good beer specials.
Real
from 5:30 to 6:30.
Say the price,
which means I'm going to be.
Yes, I'm only a bill.
See,
and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Because you'll have a bill with you tonight, Bill Brandmeyer. Won't you?
Well, I think he'll be there. Yeah,
he's just a bill, and he's with you on a hill.
It is kind of on a hill. I think we're going to be in the parking lot right past the center field wall there. Gate C, they said. The gravel lot, Gate C.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see
come
that.
Come by and see us. We're going to be giving away some
Jake
autographs.
The fact
now, will you be doing, stuff with Sharewaves then?
I don't know. I know this. We're going to be giving away some autographed KC WOSO items.
Like what?
Like a jersey and a hat that are
who
autographed.
Signed it?
I'm telling you that right now. Come on, man. But I'll tell you this much. One, there is going to be I've orchestrated a player appearance around 5 o'clock.
What?
So you can meet one of the players. Might
you really
be stopping
have put
by.
A lot of time
busy?
Into this
aren't
thing.
You like?
Well, that's a couple hours before the game. You know, right about the time they get there, the players is going to stop by and say hi to everybody. Look, I got connections out there, Steven. I know people.
So what time does that happen if people want to get out there? And
You want to get out there by 5 o'clock. I think if we get starting to tailgate right at 5 o'clock, that's probably when the player appearance is going to happen. Okay, and then.
Does anybody need a post-game, reporter? I'm happy to go to the locker room and do post-game stuff.
I think they don't do them in the locker room.
Right. Oh, they don't do them anymore.
Anyone does
but, get your tickets at kcwoso.com. That's KCWOSO, kcwoso.com.
Woso.
Let's give away two more.
Family
four-packs. Exactly where people are going to...
tailgate?
Yeah.
Gate C,
be specific.
The gravel lot, right past the center field wall, from what I understand. You'll be able to see the 810 Cruiser there. And here's what we're doing. Because I want people to actually come by and see me at the tailgate. If you win these tickets, you got to come pick them up from me at the tailgate party.
There you go.
You got to say, hey, I heard you got some tickets in your pocket for me. I'll say, okay, here you go.
There's tickets in your pocket.
That's right.
But I am taking a list of names down, so don't just show up and claim you have tickets. If you're not on the list,
seems
you can get
like
tickets.
I was about to read the people's names. It's probably better I don't do that.
Don't do that on the air. but buy your tickets, too. They're very affordable. Great way to take your kids out there. I took my kids out to see the women's national team game last night.
How'd that go?
It was awesome. We had a great time.
I wish they would have scored.
I know it was frustrating. God, the goalkeeper for Korea was incredible. Like she was making saves left and right. But it was a good game. It was fun to watch, and it was fun for my daughters and the Glowing Dragons, my daughter's soccer team. They were into. I mean, these women are their heroes. You know, they're role models. They have somebody to look up to. And dream
that's
about
what
being.
It's all about,
right? So I'll see you tonight at the tailgate. Should be a beautiful night. Should be a lot of fun. I can't wait to go. I'm getting all soccered out. I did U.S. national team last night, KC WOSO tonight, and then I got a sporting game at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon.
I saw a cool story this morning on one of the newscasts about this guy brought his daughter out, and she didn't know it was a U.S. national game. So they went in, and you know they went, and obviously, I don't know how they got set up for this interview, and the dad told the daughter at that point, this is a USA women's soccer game. And she started crying. She was so excited about going. And that's so cool. And then, you know, we have the World Cup people in town with the Clarks. We're all involved.
I got to hang out with Clark Hunt a little bit yesterday down there. Talked to him for a while. He was very friendly, very nice.
And good guy.
He felt very confident that Kansas City is going to do well with the bid. And I mean, so the Hunt
get,
family.
Like, they'll get maybe a, what do you call it? It's not a pod. It's like a.
Well, I'm not sure how they're going to construct it with the new format, but basically they get hopefully a handful of the early round games.
Sure.
Which would be, like, just to like put it into perspective, when people want to know about like what's the impact, if we get games here, the hotels will be booked up from here all the way to Wichita and all the way to St. Louis. Like, people, every hotel will be booked. You know what I mean? Like, they're put together in the bid. I said, are you gonna sell the Power and Light District as a big place to have like the big fan fest every day?
And they said, no, dummy.
They said it's everywhere.
They said, well, the big Power and Light's not big enough for the fan fest. They need to have a space that can hold 100,000 people.
Well, it, you know,
that's for the people that don't have tickets.
Well, people, I don't know if it's gonna, the games would be at Arrowhead.
Now, yeah.
There'd be no other preliminary games anywhere else. It'd all be at Arrowhead, right?
Not in Kansas City, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. They'd just be at Arrowhead.
It's just at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the parking lots, they could set up a big fan fest.
Oh, they're going to have all kinds of stuff, I'm sure, in the parking lots. But they also, every city has to have a fan fest location designated as to where this is where Party Central is for your location. And they'll have big screens up everywhere.
Yeah, we have a nice parking lot right here at WHB.
The two proposals they gave the World Cup committee were the lawn at Union Station, which is perfect because that's, and they're going to get to do a dry run of that with the draft, right?
The draft, sure.
And then the other alternate possibility they gave them was the lawn at the Nelson Atkins, going all the way down to Brush Creek.
Wow.
And they could set up videos, video boards all up and down. I mean, the place would just be jam packed. It'd be really cool. It'd be cool.
Well, good for
we'll
Kansas
see. Hopefully
City.
They do. You know where they're going today? Cincinnati.
Are they really?
You know Cincinnati very well. This is why I feel very good about us winning over Cincinnati. The committee here. When they were here, Stephen, they had lunch catered in from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.
Done.
In the P&L.
Done.
They're going to go from eating Joe's Kansas City Barbecue to
Skyline
Chili.
You know,
Kansas City right there. Kansas City right there.
And
I mean, come on.
And you know, thinking about this fan fest, now there's some nice areas in the Cincinnati area. You have Over the Rhine, which has a bunch of spots, kind of like Power and Light. Down by the stadiums, they have a huge park right by the river. But I don't see like one spot that would be big enough and as expansive as they would at Union Station and or at the Nelson Atkins. I don't, and I've been all over that Cincinnati for the last almost year,
you
and they just
everything.
Don't have it. I've seen everything,
and maybe,
I've seen it all.
And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You could answer. And do they have super fans in Cincinnati?
I don't know. I'm going to
Bengal,
my first
Bengal Factor.
I'm going to my first Bengal game January 2nd.
Tiger X. Don't know FIFA met with X Factor yesterday.
Then that's a done deal.
I mean,
deal.
This is a guy that unified a fan base and set the world record.
What's that in there?
No, they didn't.
How do you know they didn't?
Did you meet with X Factor?
How do you know they didn't? You just say that. How do you know?
They wouldn't visit him in the hospital.
He's not in the hospital. What is wrong with you?
He's got broken ribs and knocked out teeth.
What is wrong with you?
Shouldn't he be in the hospital?
I'm trying to bring up the We Got Super Fans, and Cincinnati doesn't, and then these guys make a joke out of it.
How do you know Cincinnati doesn't have super fans?
Yeah.
I'm a Bengal man. And I can't answer that because I've never played in Cincinnati. That's one of the only
places.
You
never played Cincinnati?
We played Cincinnati here twice.
Wow.
But never played.
You didn't want to play on that crap old artificial surface they had there?
No.
Was it Riverfront?
That was back in Riverfront.
It's not Riverfront anymore.
No, they have a whole new
Joe something
little program going on.
So one thing they did do, I think this is cool.
Brown Stadium.
When they took the portion of the committee that went to Arrowhead to see the stadium venue, they put them on the field and they gave them virtual reality headsets to sit on the field and look around the stadium and see what it's like to be in a jam-packed Arrowhead with the Chiefs fans going crazy.
Because
they wanted them to picture the loudest stadium on planet Earth and what it would be like when they have actual people in the building. I think that's pretty cool that they did that.
It was part of the experience they have someone get like punched in the face.
There's a man there getting his mouth punched loose.
Do not sabotage.
Why is he in a cage?
Nothing negative happens at Arrowhead Stadium.
Except for a ball every week. Listen, you want them to picture what it's like to have soccer hooligans in your stadium?
Right.
Like, that's a cool thing we got. Here's a guy that's got no teeth and
what? And did you see how he crossed the line? You see it, right?
I saw it.
He got his teeth knocked out.
Well, at an appropriate level, and then they drag it across the line.
Was it really?
Has England ever had the World Cup?
Yes.
Well, then we should be able to get it too.
They just had the Euros, England's and they had like the riots country, all over
because
the country.
Because they have the hooligans and they have bad teeth. So I mean,
he just said England's a whole country.
Yeah, but we don't know what country we live in, according to Jake. So
have you listened to the latest podcast? By the way,
I haven't.
I'd like you not to.
You're going to have to strap on a virtual reality headset for that.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I feel like I got punched in the mouth after that podcast. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Timmy, let's take a look at the injury report as the Chiefs head to Nashville to take on the Titans. Of course, Jody Fortson's out for the year. Michael Burton, the fullback, didn't practice. Tyreek Hill did not practice Wednesday or Thursday with his quad. Anthony Hitchens, his arm was in a sling, and so he did not practice, and it appears like he's not going to play. And Joe Tooney, with the fractured hand, he did not practice, but he dominated anyway this past Sunday. And so, and then Chris Jones, limited participant, so hopefully he can come back. Charvarius Ward, limited participant, hopefully he can come back. So maybe a couple of guys getting ready to come back and help the Chiefs. Your thoughts on some of the guys that are battling injuries right now for this
season? I think Chris Jones coming back would be huge for the Kansas City Chiefs. It would be interesting to see where they put him, if they continue to put him out at defensive end or this week with some of the stuff they're going to have to do with eight guys in the box or even seven and a half guys in the box that they're going to have to push, and they're going to have to get that penetration. They're going to have to do some of the things that we talked about with Derrick Henry, is trying to turn his shoulders towards the sideline and not getting his shoulders upfield. And the only way you do that is by getting penetration or, you know, causing the offensive line to stagnate at the line of scrimmage. So I think Chris Jones inside would help with that. I also think that with both of the young linebackers being in there, it'd be nice to have a guy that's eaten up some of those blocks, those guards and centers coming off at 330, 340 pounds up on the second level against some of those younger linebackers. That causes a lot of issues, and especially when you have a big back like Derrick Henry. Listen, you're not going to arm tackle this guy. You got to wrap him up. You got to square him up. And the more that you can do to eliminate second level blocking, and that's really important. Eliminate second level blocking. How are you going to do that? Will Reed be able to do that? Will Nadi be able to do that? Will Saunders be able to do that? Chris Jones has shown the ability, especially against the Titans. I thought he's had his good games against the Titans inside. He's shown the ability to be able to do that. So if he comes back, it'll be interesting to see where they put him and in how many plays he's outside and inside. And I think the Chiefs and Spags have made some adjustments. I think, once again, Dan Sorensen's going to have to play in this game. He is a box safety. He's going to have to be up. He'll be the eighth guy in the box. So you are going to see number 49 in there playing a little bit more. Now, he's got to tackle better, and he's got to produce once he's put in there. And, you know, there is a role for Dan Sorensen in run stopping and in blitzing. He struggles in coverage, and I think the Chiefs have seen that, and they know that, and that's why Juan Thornhill was in there. And Juan Thornhill, I thought, made the linebackers better. I thought he made the corners better because they
weren't. He made me better.
Well, because they weren't worried about, you know, if you got a guy that's maybe not as athletic back there who's trying to cover for some of your mistakes. So you're afraid to make mistakes if you're at the corner position. You're afraid to make mistakes when you're at the linebacker position and in coverage. If you got a guy back there that you really particularly don't trust is athletic enough to make up for your mistake, and I think when they had Juan Thornhill in there, they played a little bit looser, if that makes any sense. So,
score.
Chiefs 28-24. Chiefs win the football game. I don't think it's going to be very high scoring.
What?
I think the Titans hang in there with them because it's just the nature of the beast of that team that they have, both offensively and defensively. You're not going to pull away from the Titans. But I think the Chiefs beat them. I think Patrick Mahomes, it's really a battle between the two offensive juggernauts, Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry. I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes because it's a quarterback-driven league. And when you have the better quarterback, you got a great opportunity to win. These teams are very, very equal, really, in all the other areas. And I think the Chiefs win this football game because of one Patrick Mahomes.
A day before USC takes on your beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish, tell me how much you hate USC.
With a passion.
Right.
That's it.
Wow.
Of all the teams you face, is that?
Yeah, the USC and Michigan are the two teams that we don't like particularly well.
Notre Dame going to pummel them?
I don't know.
Just beat them up?
Notre Dame's offensive line has played very poorly. But we'll see.
Well, Jake told me he likes Notre Dame and giving up only 7 points. And so if you tell him he's wrong, he's only giving up 7.
Only giving up 7?
Notre Dame's at home. I mean,
they're going to crush them.
Big one against St. James.
Big win, Iris. Let's go.
There we go. Touchdown, Jesus. Going to get his arms tired. Touchdown, Notre Dame on Sports Radio 810 WHB.